Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan, and joining me over the phone this morning on this Legislative Friday, we have Representative Jim Kelly. Representative Kelly, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Matt, I'm doing well. We're going to have what looks like sunshine and more spring-like temperatures today and this weekend, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, after it's a couple of dreary days in the middle of the week, but definitely looks like we're going to have a bounce-back day and get back close to the 60s and then have a pretty good weekend as well. So definitely looking positive.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, so what's kind of going on? What are we getting updates on this morning up in Topeka?
Well, there's actually been a lot happening, but I thought maybe we could pick out a few things that might be of interest down in our area that we could talk about. And some of them happened this week, and some have happened just since the last time that I visited with you. And one of the things that I thought that's been big is the unemployment and people in our area and all around the state having difficulty getting into the Department of Labor and getting payments that are due. I mean, they've been many weeks past due. So is the problem solved? No, but the good thing to report for everyone that has been fighting that in our area is that the Department of Labor is ramping up their help center. And it's up to, I think, around 400 operators now. They're going to add another 100. And we are now we've been turning in names, my office and all the other offices of people that have called that need help, because we couldn't get them to answer the phone either. But we've been turning in, and over the last week, we've been getting reports daily of some of our old contacts that we've sent in back to February and early March and all. They're reporting that they are reaching them, talking to them, in many cases solving the problem, and in others making a move with the steps needed to solve it. So I think that is the first positive sign that I've seen on this since last April, where it's been absolutely terrible all that time. But there is hope, it looks like, for those that are trying to get in and get their issue solved. The fraud issue, that was a big issue. That's also, people are appear from what we're getting back from the call center about who they've talked to. They've also talked to a number that have had fraud issues and are working to solve those. So that was good news. I mean, that's been an issue about from last year at this time forward. So that's one very positive thing. One other thing that I thought would be interesting, kind of neat for me, my committee was involved in this one, and it was called Saving Our Small Towns. It was a bill that started in the House in my committee, and it was to help cities provide a source of funding for cities that were impacted by the high gas and utility electric rates during the big freeze of 2021, where fuel prices spiked. And what this bill did, and the amazing thing about this bill, is that it started with a hearing in my committee, which is Financial Institutions and Rural Development. And rural development is the reason one of the reasons it started there. It started at 8:30 in the morning, came out of our committee, made it to the House floor about 11:30, went from the House to the Senate, and by 8:30 that evening, the governor had signed the bill. So I've never been a part of anything that fast. So 12 hours from start to finish. And what this bill did was set aside $100 million in the state idle fund dollars for a loan program, a low-interest loan program to cities to help them deal with the amazingly high bills they had. And these are cities that usually generate their own power, either gas or electric or both. And they were faced with extraordinary bills. Some of the cities in our area, a report came out early this week on that said $65 million, almost $66 million of the $100 million has already been loaned to 50 cities. And in our area, and it's, I mean, it's a very low interest loan program. It's down to where it's about the rate that the state could get on their idle funds. So it makes, they're allowed to go out 10 years to allow the cities to spread this out over that period of time for their ratepayers, for their citizens in those towns. In our area, Altamont, under natural gas, had a loan of $735,000. Neodesha under electric, $825,000. So this is the money. Those amounts are attributed just to those 4 or 5 days in the pandemic when fuel prices spiked that they needed to operate their facilities. Chautauqua got $250,000. The Fredonia, $700,000. Howard, $650,000. Winfield in our area, they had fuel prices spike. They do. They have electric generation, almost $13 million. So you can imagine that that had to be spread out to citizens of Winfield for a short period of time. Garden City was another large one, $10 million. So these funds are doing what they were intended to do, to help these communities deal with this unprecedented disaster. And when fuel prices increased, you know, from a couple dollars per MCF for gas up to $400, $500, $600 per MCF, so monster bills. So it was amazing to see this go into play to help these communities because they had these bills coming due in the next week. So that was one really neat thing to be part of and see go. Another thing that has some local ties to it that I thought I'd tell you about, it's called the Property Tax Transparency Bill. This bill passed both the House and the Senate by really wide margins. It has cities, counties, taxing units having to have a hearing if they're going to increase the tax, the property tax, and to publish a comparison of when the tax statement goes out is here's what the increase was and spells it out in a kind of a detailed format for the citizens. The other kind of neat piece in this bill is that probably 18 months ago, we had a meeting here with the area legislators and the city administrators from our four cities and from county representation, and they proposed that we have a way for citizens to make payments on their property tax rather than a payment due in May and in December because they felt that it was creating issues for citizens in their communities. And so we searched for ways to do this. Last year, I had introduced the bill, and last year we had an agreement with all the County Treasurers Association representing all 105 counties, and that bill was had passed the House, and after right after it passed the House, the pandemic shut everything down, and it didn't go anyplace. This year, I reintroduced it again, and it is included in this property tax transparency bill, and will allow county treasurers, they may negotiate repayment plans. They've been able to do this for delinquent taxes, but it will now allow also the ability, and it's not mandatory, they may negotiate a payment plan for non-delinquent taxes. So this is a way that for some people, they can make application to make payments on it and make it easier to do, especially when one of the big payments comes due right before Christmas. So this was a big piece, and actually it was touted when the bill was presented in the House and Senate as a large portion of this bill of what it would do, and that's thanks to all the city administrators and our county folks for proposing this, and we were able to get it approved and inserted in the bill, and this bill is sitting on the governor's desk. It just was passed in the Senate 30-5, and so that's another thing that locals had a part in this particular bill, and it was a great idea they presented, and we were able to get it across. So that had some local ties, and then another one that before I go into the third one, Matt, you have any particular questions?
No, I mean it's good to hear. You know, we've hit on several things this morning that have regarded, you know, helping people out, whether it be unemployment or helping cities out. So, you know, it's good to hear that. You know, I mean that's what when someone, you know, gets elected, that's kind of, you know, what they want to set out and accomplish and help their constituents. And it sounds like you've really been crucial in that. So that's great to hear.
And then I'll tell you probably the third big one, and it's also at the governor's for signature decision by her, but it's a kind of the finishing touches to the disaster laws that have been worked on back last year in the heart of the pandemic, and this kind of finished it up with some things for going forward on this, and this is a bill that passed the House 118-5 and passed the Senate 31-8. And I thought I'd, since these are things that individuals are always interested in around here with the pandemic and all over the state, I thought I'd list a few of the things that it does. But it kind of outlines what can what kind of orders can be issued in a pandemic, who has to approve them, all of those things. So this bill, if signed, would revoke all executive orders on March 31st of this year, including the statewide mask mandate. It would allow the legislature or the Legislative Coordinating Council to revoke any orders issued by KDHE Secretary, the Health and Environment Secretary. It gives all citizens at all levels a quick and ready recourse to file an action in district court if any disaster closes their business, limits their business, restricts their movement, or shuts down religious or civic institutions. And those cases must be heard within 72 hours, and if no decision is made within 7 days, the citizen wins. Cases are analyzed using strict constitutional scrutiny, which means the government must prove that it that its order is narrowly tailored and uses the least restrictive means. It continues the trend of limiting school closures and clarifies that only local school boards can close schools. It requires local governing bodies to ratify or revoke orders entered into by non-elected officials when those orders affect business, mask, or free exercise of religion or civic life. And it continues the policy of local control, allowing counties to enter into less stringent orders for their jurisdiction instead of following the one-size-all fit. And so it continues the law prior that the governor shall not have the power to seize or suspend the sale of firearms or ammunition. It addresses law enforcement concerns by making a violation of an order that mandates a curfew or prohibits entry into an area affected by a disaster, a Class A non-person misdemeanor, and it adds 911 call center public safety communications and physician assistance to the definition of emergency responders. So the physician assistance and the 911 centers are taken in with others as far as being delegated emergency responder like police and fire and all of that. There's some other pieces to it, but, I mean, it was a bill that they worked on it the whole session. They brought it to us, and versus some of the disaster bills early last year when we were trying to do it right after the pandemic that did not have bipartisan support. Like I said, these passed out 118-5 in the House and 31-8 in the Senate. And some of the news reports that I've heard in Topeka indicate that the governor is likely to sign this because of the bipartisan support. So that's some of the big things that have been happening. The last thing I'll report on, the Economic Recovery Act, which was setting up a fund where banks and credit unions would be able to make lower interest rate loans to businesses and ag, which I think we talked about last time that passed the House and the Senate. And it's a big piece. That bill went through my Financial Institutions Committee also, and that bill was signed by the governor just earlier this month, and with a very large signing ceremony in the Capitol Rotunda because of her indicating that she felt the benefit of it. And so really some kind of neat things happening, some big things this year. And the other thing this year, I think last year we only passed 8 bills the whole time. By the time it's over this year, we'll be well into between 1 and 200, I think. So a lot of legislation passed, a lot of things related to pandemic, and some of those that I cited here with some ties back to our area and our city administrators and county elected officials that make it even kind of neater.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like, you know, we're really, after such a rough year last year, we've really rebounded or heading towards really rebounding this year. So that is great to hear. And I think the people in the area are going to be happy to hear that as well. Well, Representative Kelly, we appreciate you coming on and talking. Give us a lot of great updates this morning. And we'll look forward to talking to you next month. And hopefully have a great rest of your March.
Well, you too, Matt. And good to talk to you, and thanks to everyone. I appreciate all the input and calls that we get, and we try to help deal with everyone. So thanks very much. You have a great weekend.
All right. See you later, Representative Kelly. All right. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.